The Fox City Score chapter and WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Pat Lowney as he talks to entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, from the Myron Construction Studio, it's Biz Talk on WHBY.
Good morning and welcome to Biz Talk. I'm Pat Lowney and I'm here this morning with Tony Bush. Hi, Tony.
Hey, good morning, Pat.
How are you?
I'm fine. Good to be here.
Good to see you again. Good to see you. And we have a guest this morning of Chris Allen from Fox Communities Credit Union. Chris, good to see you.
Good to see you. Good morning, everybody.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day outside.
It is. So, Chris, you've got a lot of experience, a lot of business experience, and your commercial lending experience and things like that. What are you seeing going on in your world right now that would be of interest?
Well, we're seeing a lot of things of interest. Just a quick reminder, Fox Communities Credit Union is pretty much throughout Northeast Wisconsin with 22 branches. We're a pretty large credit union, but yet still a credit union, so we're member owned, and we as a credit union and as an industry really take that pretty seriously. Our members are the whole reason for our being, and the reason that we are in existence is to serve our members in the best possible way that we can. So my area is, as you mentioned, the business, the commercial lending area of what Fox does, and what we're seeing out there right now are a lot of things around the what happens at the end of a really strong growth cycle in the economy. We've had a tremendous amount of strong economic growth. We're starting to see that with all kinds of construction projects. If you just drive around the Fox Valley, you'll see construction projects going up all over the place. But we're also starting to see some other impacts of the strong growth historically, namely in the way of higher interest rates. That usually kind of corresponds with the end of a growth cycle. We want to start to try and temper the growth, make sure it doesn't overheat and we don't get inflation, which has some negative impacts as well. But for business owners, when you start to see your cost of borrowing and then other costs of inputs, which are somewhat dependent on the cost of borrowing as well, say, for example, you're buying wood or inventory from somebody else, they more than likely are borrowing against that as well. So their cost of inputs are going up, too. As interest rates start to rise, all of those costs start to go up, and you got to start. And as a business owner, you got to start thinking about that and planning for that.
How much have you seen interest rates rise so far this year?
So far this year, the past 18 months, I'd say probably a good 1.5% so far, and that's starting to. That's starting to go up even at a quicker pace. There was a bit of a bump after President Trump got elected. We saw it level out a little bit, and then we saw another bump about 6 months ago, and now we're literally in the midst of another bump. In the last 2 weeks, they've gone up probably 0.25, 0.35% from a basis points. And then you can also see the prime interest rates going up. The Federal Reserve just met, their Open Market Committee just met, I want to say last week, and raised rates again this year. More than likely, I think we're probably, for the rest of the year, going to stay at this rate, but there is a chance that they'll increase it one more time.
What is the prime rate now, Chris?
Prime rate, I believe, you're putting me on the spot. I think it's about 5.25 right now, or maybe even 5.5. I'll tell you what, I can fire up the old Google machine.
Yeah, that's usually the basic rate that business lenders will float an interest rate at or fix it for a number of years, prime plus something.
Correct. Yeah, by and large, the prime interest rate has more to do with the short-term stuff, lines of credit, the shorter-term borrowings and whatnot. For longer-term stuff that's fixed, say, five-year fixed rate, a balloon, which is the typical commercial structure, we tend to use treasuries as a better indicator of that. And right now, the
10-year treasury?
We use the five-year treasury for the five-year fixed. 10-year treasury is a great index for a lot of other things, including home mortgages and whatnot. So if you ever want to kind of get a feel for where home mortgages are going, take a look at the historic 10-year treasury. But that's starting to move up quite a bit too.
How does Fox factor in? Like, we'll hear in the news that rates have gone up 25 basis points or something. Is that a direct correlation to what you're doing, or is it, do you work on something else?
Yeah, for the most part, if it's short term, some loans are indexed right to the prime, so that'll go up immediately. As soon as prime goes up the very next day, those rates will start to go up, or whatever your index timing is. But yes, for the most part, we utilize those rates as good indicators. There are sometimes some competitive pressures that keep rates low for a little bit, but by and large, after a couple weeks, everybody seems to kind of figure out where the pricing is, and then we hit an equilibrium as an industry.
Chris, a lot of people probably don't understand or realize just how large and active Fox is in the business lending market. How large? You have a pretty good sized business loan portfolio.
Yeah. We have right now we have over 4,000 business members, a good chunk of which borrow from that standpoint throughout all of our territories in Northeast Wisconsin, and then even outside of our territories. Sometimes we go outside when we have a local borrower who wants to do, say, a project down in Milwaukee. We usually don't go down to Milwaukee, but we will for our members. And we're north of $300 million at this point.
You know, with that kind of volume, those listening in the audience right now should really understand that with all that volume, you have some expertise on your staff in all kinds of different industries. If I'm coming into you with a landscaping company or a legal firm, a veterinarian practice, chances are you've already loaned to something like that, and you're familiar with that type of industry and could be a resource for me.
Yeah, we have at Fox Communities Credit Union, we have six very experienced lenders, extraordinarily experienced. In fact, that was the whole strategy of what we did a few years back, was to bring in-house lenders who have been around, who have seen the things that business owners go through. The point of that is something that you're getting at right there, is simply because we know that there are ups and downs in the economy. We know that there are things that are going to come up, the boogeymen that come out of the bushes and try and grab you in your business. And having experienced people that help you through that versus just helping you get a loan is a service that we wanted to provide to our members. And again, being a credit union, being that member-centric, we're literally owned by our members. That's the whole point of our being. So we want to provide them the best service. So these aren't cheap folks. They earn their money. They're experienced, and with experience comes salary. And that is something we wanted to invest in for our members.
They're relationship focused, like Fox is, not just transaction focused.
Correct. That's the whole premise. Transaction focused. You'll get your deal done, but it might not be structured the right way. There might not be that. Again, structure today might not matter as much, but a year from now, when something goes wrong, structure could make a big difference. And thinking that all the way through the life of your loan is important.
And it's really, you really value experience when you're going through times like this, because you've got people who've seen this before and worked through this before, so they have a better understanding of things that work and don't work.
Yep. Yeah, not only that, they also don't pull the fire alarm all that fast, because that's something that business owners have to keep in mind. You get a loan, if you stumble a little bit, you don't want a financial institution that's going to overreact to the negative and say, oh, you know, the sky is falling, we're going to have to do something quick. Usually, if you have somebody who's got a little bit more experience, they can work through that a little bit quicker.
So what do you see ahead of us for the economy? That, you know, we're in a long expansion. There's a lot of debate going on, how long this might continue, or maybe we've gone too long already. Do you foresee a downturn coming anytime in the near future?
Yeah. You know, we pay quite a bit of attention to what the economists around from all over the place are saying, and we try and aggregate all those opinions because every economist seems to have a different opinion on, mm-hmm. on what's happening. But if you take a look at it, we do appear to be kind of towards the end of the growth cycle at this point. It's usually followed by some sort of downturn. You know, how big, how severe, it again depends on who you're listening to and who you believe. But we are preparing for something of that nature at this point with our business owners, with our portfolio. We anticipate something, some sort of downturn occurring probably in the next 12 to 18 months.
So as you manage the credit union, you're also trying to manage your business customers also so that they make good decisions and kind of help them figure out where they need to position themselves and, you know, what might be a good decision today that's going to look really good 2 or 3 years from now when we do go through that downturn, and we will.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's part of the best example right now is redoing some people's rates and extending the longer term rates so that they can fix that cost on their financial statements at this point or in their cost structure. In fact, I have one guy who's at 4.5% interest right now, will be for another 16 months, and he's seriously considering redoing his note up to 5.25, maybe 5.35 today, but fixing it in for another 5 years so that he knows he's got that set for the next 5 years versus in 16 months having to deal with whatever's coming down the pike, which, again, we don't know for sure where rates are going to be or what's going to happen, but it might be a nice thing to
take a look at.
It's a really nice hedge, and it's at the very least you should be thinking about it. You may not act, you may not decide to, you might want right. to roll the dice, and then that's perfectly acceptable. That's the whole rolling to the dice is the whole spirit of entrepreneurship. but that is certainly something that you should be considering and should be talking to your folks about.
And it's also a good example of managing risk that, you know, you can start to think about some of this longer term. What's the impact if I take a little bit higher rate right now, but mm-hmm. I lock in for 5 years and then I'm steady for the next 5 years? What's the impact over a 10-year period or a 7-year period versus just take the low rate for the current 16 months or something and then mm-hmm. hope that it, you know, works out later on?
That's right. That's right. It's you're buying insurance.
You are.
To a certain extent.
You are.
Yep.
So you're listening to Biz Talk on WHBY. We'll be right back.
Need help taming your business's financial beast? Albertson Hailing CPAs can simplify your financial situation and guide you from payroll to tax planning and more. Let's crack the whip on your business's finances, helping you feel more comfortable. Visit AlbertsHaling.com. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Are you a business owner looking to purchase real estate or equipment? Did you know there's a program out there that any bank or credit union can offer to help you make it happen with as little as 10% down and long-term fixed rates under 5%? It's called the SBA 504 program, and it has been working for small businesses for over 35 years. So next time you are talking to your banker about real estate or equipment financing, make sure you ask them for the SBA 504 option, because knowing all of your options is good business. Learn more about the SBA 504 program at wbd.org.
Welcome back. We're glad you joined us this morning. Our guest is Chris Allen, and we're talking about business lending. Before we get back to Chris, I'd like to tell you a little bit about the Fox City Score Chapter. Our Fox City Score Chapter is located in the Fox City's Chamber Office in downtown Appleton. We have offices in Appleton, Oshkosh, and Fond du Lac, and we serve an 8-county area. We have 50 volunteer mentors, each of them an expert in their own field. We offer entrepreneurs no-cost and confidential mentoring. We have expertise in areas such as IT, social media, marketing, cash flow, accounting, strategic planning, workflow, HR, retail, best practices, and many other specialties. In order to register for a no-cost and confidential mentoring session, or to learn more about the Fox City Score Chapter, visit our website at foxcities.score.org. You can learn more about how the Score Chapter can assist you with starting or growing your business. When visiting our website at foxcities.score.org, you can complete an online application for a no-cost, confidential mentoring session. Simply complete the online form and submit it to Score. Within a few days, the SCORE mentor will be contacting you to set up a meeting. Remember, SCORE is no cost and offers experts who can offer you assistance in many different areas of your business as you need it. To get started, simply visit our website at foxcities.score.org. To support small business people, Fox City SCORE is always looking for new mentors. We could use people with expertise in agriculture, such as hydroponics, wellness, such as assisted living, government contracts, and construction. If you have experience that you'd like to share with others, we're looking for help in those areas. We'd love to talk to you. Go to foxcities.score.org, click on the volunteer button, and fill out the short application. We'll get back to you to explain more. So let's turn back to Chris.
Chris, Fox Communities does have a very dynamic and growing business loan portfolio, as you pointed out, north of $300 million, 4,000 business borrowers. That's serious business. So if someone in a listening audience who doesn't deal with Fox today would like to consider bringing their business to Fox Communities, what is that process? What should they be prepared to bring to the credit union to be evaluated for a business loan?
So that question's got multiple answers depending on what the project is. It comes down to what the complexity of what is happening or what they want to do occurs. If they want to come in and buy a duplex, which is a investment property, and we consider that a small business, it's a relatively easy process. And then, you know, a couple years of tax returns for the individuals looking to borrow, a personal financial statement, which would be required for any loan that you get, so that you any business loan that you get. So if you don't have a personal financial statement, go out to the SBA's website or go to Fox's website and start to fill one out. And in fact, I strongly encourage anybody who wants to get into business to pop it into Excel or do something, because you're going to get asked for it at least annually, if not more. So if it's something simple, it could be as simple as just tax returns, a personal financial statement, and then a little bit specific on the project. The more complex it gets, the more information we're going to get. And complex doesn't mean size. It doesn't mean size. It means complex in terms of it could mean size. It could mean there are a lot of moving parts. Could also mean that it's something that just isn't out there. And a lot of entrepreneurs say, "Hey, I want to do this because nobody else is doing it." Well, you're going to have to try. You're going to have to explain what you're thinking a lot more if it's not completely intuitive. For example, a duplex. I get it. You know, you buy it, you rent it, you get the rental money, you pay, you know, whatever property taxes there are, and bada bing, bada boom, you're good to go. But if you want to start a retail shop, or if you want to start something that is not quite out there yet, a business plan and those types of things would be required.
Sure. Let's talk about that for a moment, Chris. You just mentioned if you want to start something, as opposed to a business owner who may already have a going concern, they're banking somewhere else, they want to come to Fox, get a competitive bid, their note's coming up for renewal,
yep,
or they're looking at expanding their business and they'd like to get another bid.
Yep.
How does Fox look at startup companies versus going concerns?
Yeah, so going concerns are much easier to lend into because we've got a track record of history, and we make the assumption that things are going to, at the very least, hopefully continue the way that they are exactly as it is. So it's much easier to evaluate based off of that experience that's been out there. And if that's the case, then the existing business owner just needs to bring their historical financial information along with any project specific information and what the projections based off of, you know, what this new expansion or whatever they're doing is going to be. So it becomes a lot easier. Startups are by nature very difficult to finance conventionally through banks, credit unions, etc. There are programs out there that help. The U.S. Small Business Administration has some nice programs that can help you get off the ground for startups and whatnot, but they typically tend to be a little bit trickier because you don't have that baseline of experience. You don't have those historic sales. You don't have those customers already built up. We are basing the entire cash flow or the repayment ability on some sort of projection that has not materialized yet.
Has Fox ever partnered with organizations like CAP Services or WIBIC which are non-financial institution lenders who sometimes will take a position subject to the bank's lien position called gap financing to get a deal going.
So Fox has, to my knowledge, not. But here, and here's the but here. The reason we hired the people that we hired, and that this has been within the last 3 to 5 years, is because a lot of us have experience in that range. I personally have a significant amount of experience with SBA and gap financing and revolving loan funds, basically the alternative to traditional bank and credit union financing. I also have somebody up in Green Bay, a fellow by the name of Chris Kumacek, who used to work for a group called Great Lakes Asset Corp, which is now something else. But they were a big SBA and alternative lending resource as well. So we hire these people with these opportunities to help. Now, one of the things is the economy's been pretty good for the last couple of years, and we've been able to find ways to do things without those additional services and whatnot. But yeah, we certainly have the experience to help wade through that.
As you were explaining earlier, where experience really matters for our lenders, experience really matters for the borrower too, right? That's one of the things that makes it tricky for a first-time borrower, first-time commercial borrower, to get through the whole maze, if that's right, of being able to get that loan, as they don't have that experience.
Yeah, you know, so about a decade ago now, we went through the Great Recession. I think that's what we're calling it these days. You know, the Great Recession, which was, by most accounts, one of the most significant corrections since the Great Depression. And coming out of that, it was one of those where if you had been around in business long enough and you came in asking for money and you made it through the Great Recession, that itself was a badge of honor that actually had a lot of credibility in loan committees. Be like, hey, look, this guy made it through the most difficult period that we've seen in our lifetimes. Yeah, the chances are they're going to make it through whatever kind of comes down the road going forward. So that certainly is a nice badge of honor, and that's a good example of where we take experience into account.
Okay, so we're going to take another break. You're listening to BizTalk on WHBY.
Do you believe your business can generate more in profits, be more efficient, and grow successfully? At Priora, our vision is applying financial literacy. Yours. You are searching for a method to truly understand and manage the cash flow of your company. You know you should have a better working knowledge of your cash flow. The Priora Business System is an excellent template for the motivated business owner to successfully achieve profitability and growth. Visit PrioraCFM.com for more information or call Tony at 920-450-2840.
I'm on my way out. I'm booked that day. I'll be washing my hair that night?
No matter what excuse you use, your business's finances won't fix themselves. Albertson Hailing CPAs can take the frustration out of your bookkeeping, taxes, and more. We'll help you understand and manage your situation. Visit albertshaling.com. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections. Positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Intellectual property doesn't have to be confusing. If you have an original idea and are considering patents, trademarks, copyrights, or protecting your company logo, let me partner with you and make it easy to build and protect your intellectual property portfolio. Legal Business Edge, know your options. Call 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. I'm Pat Lowney, and I'm here this morning with Tony Bush, and we're talking to Chris Allen from Fox Communities Credit Union. Before we go back to the conversation, I want to talk a little bit about some education that we've got coming up. Registration for our fall QuickBooks classes are now available on our website at foxcities.score.org. They begin at 6 p.m. and will continue for the next two Wednesdays. You can attend one or both of the remaining classes. If you want to learn more or know more about QuickBooks, these classes are for you. You'll have your own computer to work on and individual help in the areas that you need it. These classes always fill up, so sign up early. For more information, go to our website, foxcities.score.org. The Fox City Score Chapter is also sponsoring another Google event at the Bordini Center at Fox Lake Technical College on October 17th. This event will help small businesses strengthen your online presence in preparation for the upcoming holidays, getting retail customers spending more on your website. You can get more information and sign up for this session at our website at foxcities.score.org. And finally, we have a session coming up on October 22nd on the impact of the 2019 health care reform for small businesses and individuals. This meeting will be held at the Fox Cities Chamber of Commerce building at 6 p.m. If you'd like more information on how health care will affect you and your business in 2019, this session is for you. Again, go to our website at foxcities.score.org for more information and to sign up. The session will also be repeated in Fond du Lac at the Fond du Lac Library on November 5th. We'll have more details about the Fond du Lac session coming up at a later date. So let's turn back to Chris.
Chris, in our last segment, we were talking a little bit about how business owners come to the credit union with certain information like financials, personal financial statement, and some projections on how the new venture is going to repay the loan that you're being asked to fund for them. But not everyone qualifies. When I was a lender, it was like maybe 1 out of 10 got the loan. You tend to say no more than you say yes. But it's based on good criteria. It's good judgment by the lender. So if someone comes into the credit union, how do you handle a borrower who's requesting $100,000, $200,000 loan or more, and you just don't find a way to be able to do it right now? How do you handle that?
You know, it's the first part about that is, I'd like to encourage business owners to, especially if you're a startup or if you haven't done it before, to plan on talking to a lot of financial institutions. I think that's an important part of it. Of course, I'd like you to come to Fox, but I'd like you to talk to a lot of different financial institutions.
It's a learning experience.
It's a learning experience, and it does a couple of things. Number one, make sure that you find a lender that's a good fit for you. Specifically, the loan officer has the right personality. This is going to be a relationship. It's not a It shouldn't be a transaction like an auto loan, right. You know, where you kind of just can, where you just come in and you get it. I mean, it should be a relationship. You should be able to rely on them. You're going to have, if the business goes well, you're going to have additional borrowing needs in almost, all circumstances, et cetera. So you want to make sure that you find a lender that, A, understands your business and what you're trying to do, and, B, that you actually like spending a little bit of time with, but yet doesn't just say yes, kind of challenges you, because that's what you need as a business owner. You don't need somebody saying, oh, yes, this and yes, that and yes, this, and, oh, I think that's a great idea, and then they can't get it approved through loan committee, and you spend weeks just kind of running around in circles. So you want somebody that's going to be able to challenge you and do things like that. One of the so to kind of bring it back to your point, one of the things that we do when we talk to prospective members, business members, we really kind of take a hard look at it. If it fits what we're comfortable doing, and that's another part of talking to a lot of lenders. Lenders have different appetites for different types of businesses, different type of risk. They may have a lot of experience in a certain area that another financial institution might not, so they might be more willing to say yes than another financial institution. And unfortunately, it's hard to tell who they are. You know, it's hard to tell which ones will have that level of experience and then whatever you're doing. So you got to talk to a lot. But one of the things that we kind of pride ourselves on, or that your lender should do, is they should say no when they're not comfortable with the deal, either because they don't know it, and they should tell you that, hey, I just don't know this space well enough to lend into it, I apologize, I can't help you, or whether they don't believe that it's a good venture. Hey, this is not where I think you should be putting your $20,000 that you've spent so long saving up, because I don't think it's going to work. I've seen this happen a number of times. And we view it as part of our mission is that sometimes when we say no, yeah, it stinks at the time, But I'd rather have that than to give you a loan that puts you in a situation where now you have to go bankrupt a year or two down the road.
Right, exactly. That's great advice, Chris. Oftentimes the business owner is saying, what are you telling me no for? It's my business. But your point is very valid. That loan officer has been around the park a few times. They've seen other such ventures maybe start, and they're seeing some glitches in this member's application for the loan. They want to point that out.
Yeah.
They're trying to be helpful.
Yeah. Well, and the thing you got to realize is as a business owner, especially, you know, banks and credit unions to a certain extent, but the banks don't make money unless they lend out their money
to good loan applicants.
To good loan applicants and stuff like that. So if they're saying no for some reason, I wouldn't take it personally, number one. I would get to the bottom of why they're saying no. It could be as simple as, hey, we're just not experienced in this space.
Right.
And they might not say that right away, but it might come out after you start to question. Right. Hey, we're just not experienced in this space. Or they could point out a fatal flaw of your business plan that you just either you might not agree with it, but the fact that because it's usually not just the loan officer that's looking at this. It's the loan officer and a credit person and this, and, you know, and multiple people. So if they're saying no, I would really want to, if I were an entrepreneur, explore that to make sure I understand why that is and not take it personal.
Sometimes in those conversations, things start out, you think they're going to be one thing, and as you talk, you find out it actually is something else. It's not what was brought up to start the conversation. It's really something else that's really more important, and that takes you in a different direction too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why questioning the no is probably very important. And unfortunately, if you take it personal, because a lot of these, you know, businesses, I mean, it's your livelihood. It's very hard not to take it personal when somebody says no to financing whatever the heck you want to finance. It's hard when you hear that. But if you take a step back, not take it personal, and ask and probe as to the why, at the very least, you're going to get some very good understanding of and maybe some very good insight that could help you with your business.
Chris, that's really all good advice. And I think business owners should be insulated from taking things personally, because business should be driven by passion, not by emotion.
Yeah,
right?
It's hard to separate those.
It's really hard to separate. Let's turn the topic a little bit to something we talked about in the pre-show, and that was like mergers and acquisitions, mm-hmm. businesses for sale. A lot of boomers out there are getting to that age where they like to sell their business, and they're looking for a buyer, and talking about valuations. How do you value a company? What is Fox's viewpoint on taking out a business owner coming over to borrow money to buy a business from a seller? And goodwill. I mean, that's a big pot of assets.
Yeah.
Do you want to address that a little
bit? Yeah, so take a step back. Usually when you're buying a company, there's value there, whatever the value is. Say you're buying it for $1 million. I'll just use that as a round number. You know, a lot of times what there's going to be about, say, $400,000 of hard assets, you know, things that you can pick up and carry out of there if you really need to. And then there could be something like $600,000 in what we call goodwill. And that is the value that's built up based off the cash flow of the company, the expected cash flows going forward. So what you're basically doing is you're saying, hey, this company makes a lot of money, and I'm going to pay $600,000 for the ability to make that amount of money going forward. That and a little bit of brand equity and stuff that business has built up is all kind of in that goodwill number that we call it. That is wonderful for people selling, that there's a lot of goodwill there. It means you got good cash flow, good brand name, good everything. And actually, to be honest, it's wonderful for the people buying it, because that means that you're actually, you know, you're buying something that has enough demonstrable cash flow and performance to have to pay for it.
Return on your investment.
Yeah, if you don't, I mean, you wouldn't pay for something that hadn't made much money. You wouldn't pay a lot of goodwill for that, right? At least in the space that we're talking about. Don't look at those tech companies that everybody's paying for something else. But you know, you certainly wouldn't pay for that. The trick, though, and then to pull it back to your original question, the trick is, as a conventional financier, which are banks and credit unions are, is very difficult for us to finance goodwill in a lot of cases. The reason being, and again, this is where don't take it personally as a small business owner. The reason being is that I'm taking mom and dad's and grandma's and grandpa's and brothers and sisters' savings and lending them out. That's the whole function of a bank and credit union, is to take the savings and then lend them out again to our friends and neighbors and to help, you know, the economic development of our area. When I do that, I have to make good loan decisions to be safe and sound with the, with those dollars, number one. Number two, in order to keep the interest rate low, I have to make safe and sound loans out. So usually I require a lot of collateral, because if your business can't make it, that's understandable. It happens. We try not to have that happen, of course, but it happens. Then we have to have a secondary source of repayment rather than just the cash flow of the business. And a lot of times that's collateral. So I'll lend into a building, no problem. I'll lend equipment, no problem. Goodwill, though, it's what we in the business call vapor. It's just, there's nothing there. Blue sky. There's nothing tangible, because if the business doesn't make it, you can't sell that goodwill anymore, because it was all based off the company making it. So there are a lot of programs out there. We started to touch on some of them before with some of the gap financing and some of the SBA programs, the government programs. Those are some options. Another great option, which we see a lot of, is the seller actually taking that back. Unfortunately, we don't have a ton of time to talk about the topic.
When you say seller taking that back, can you explain that?
Yeah. So a lot of times what the seller will do, say the seller in our example that we've been talking about, the $600,000, you know, the seller believes it's worth that much. It's hard to finance most, if not all, of that $600,000. So what the seller will do will act as the bank or credit union in that aspect, and basically provide a note to the buyer of the company, which is usually tied to some sort of performance or something else. It's a negotiated, no two of them look alike in terms of how they're structured, but it's really tailored for what's happening. And it's a good way for the seller to get their full asking price. Maybe sometimes even a little bit more if they negotiate, well, hey, look, you give me $700,000 instead of $600,000 and I'll finance it. You know, it's a good option. But it's also a good way for the buyer to tie the seller into the business, because now they can't just walk away and say, sorry, you're on your own. You know, don't bother me anymore. Now they have a vested interest going forward. It really feels like a win-win-win all the way around in a lot of cases.
Chris, where would a person coming to you that was going to buy a business with goodwill in it, where could they go to get that help to determine what a good value for goodwill is?
You know, there are a number of different spots. I'm sure they could start with SCORE, and you guys could help them out a little bit. But a good start would be their accountant. And if they're looking to buy a business and don't have an accountant yet, that's probably a better place to start, is to find a good accountant. Because as a business owner, having your professional team, we call it a three-legged stool. It's usually the accountant, the attorney, and the banker are all part of it. Having that lined up, really spent a lot of time interviewing people. It's very similar to finding a good bank fit. You're going to want to interview a lot of people, make sure you understand what their pros, what their cons are, what their strengths, what their weaknesses are from an attorney and accountant standpoint, and go from there.
So you, as a new borrower, particularly in a first-time commercial borrower, you really want to be hiring that help to help you make the assessment before you come to you to see about financing it, that, you know, you've got a good deal working here.
Yeah, I would strongly suggest that. And if for some reason you don't, literally one of the first questions we'll ask is, okay, who's your accountant when you come in for banking?
Okay. So we're going to take one more break. You're listening to BizTalk on WHBY.
Manage your banking relationship. Don't be managed by it. Lenders will require a copy of your detailed business plan to evaluate the risks associated with making a loan to your business. Many companies have already benefited by using the Priora business system to prepare their business plan and provide ongoing monitoring of their business cash flow. Priora Business provides you and your lender with the critical information needed to demonstrate your business will be able to repay the loan. Visit PrioraCFM.com or call Tony at 920-450-2840 for more information.
Hi, this is Matt Wilcock. I have been helping businesses in this area for over 20 years as a business banker and now as a vice president with WBD, your business finance resource. WBD is a nonprofit company that partners with local lending institutions to offer the SBA 504 loan program. If you are looking to buy commercial, real estate, or equipment, want to lower your down payment and get a 20-year fixed rate under 5%, be sure to ask your banker to show you the 504 option. And don't worry, at WBD we speak SBA, so we will make it easy for you and your banker. For more information on the 504 program, visit WBD.org.
Subtract line 6 from 13, put in box 5 on form 1040EZ. Easy? Really?
Taxes can be daunting, especially when it comes to your business. From asset protection to payroll and more, we can help reduce the stress of your business's financial situation. Visit AlbertsHaling.com. Alberts & Haling. Personal connections, positive results.
Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts & Haling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. We can partner with you to reach creative legal solutions for your business. From contract drafting and negotiation, patents and trademarks, commercial transactions, and governmental compliance.
Timely and candid answers coupled with high energy and passion define Sarah's approach to legal counsel.
Know your options. Call me at 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
I'd like to thank our sponsors who help us bring BizTalk to you each weekend. We couldn't do it without them. First of all, Fox Communities Credit Union. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate your support.
It's our pleasure.
And we also like to thank Alberts & Haling CPAs. They have offices in Appleton and Green Bay. Alberts & Haling offer accounting services geared to support the small to medium-sized business and the individual, including tax preparation and advice. Thank you to Legal Business Edge, LLC. Sarah DeBruin and her team specialize in business law, offering services for forming a business, contract review, intellectual property law such as patents, copyrights, and trademarks. Thank you to WBD. They are the 504 SBA loan experts. We appreciate them. Thank you to Prior Cash Flow Management. That's Tony.
You're welcome, Pat.
Thank you, Tony, for all that you do. And finally, we'd like to thank Kendale Marketing, who supports our webpage, which is biztalkwithscore.com. You can go out to that webpage and pick up our previous podcast and see what's coming up in the next weeks. And then the Business News, which is the business newspaper in Northeast Wisconsin. We thank them for their support. So we're going to turn back to Chris.
Chris, we were talking about valuations and in the last segment. Could we delve into that a little bit further and help us understand the difference, especially for the business owner who might be coming to the credit union to want to borrow money to buy a business? What is the difference between an appraisal and a business valuation?
Yeah, so an appraisal is specific to an asset. So like an appraisal of a piece of property or an appraisal of an equipment, piece of equipment. Usually we require appraisals. Again, it depends on the situation and the circumstance. But usually we require appraisals in order to lend against a building. You got a $1 million building. We're going to get an appraisal, that shows that it's a $1 million building in order for us to do your $700,000 or $800,000 loan. Valuations are a lot more holistic in terms of what they take into account. They will take into account depending on what you ask them to, but they really take into account everything that goes into what makes that business a business, and what the value is there. And that could include real estate and equipment, because that's what you need in order to generate the cash flow, which is the additional component of a valuation, and trying to put some sort of today value on what is future cash flows, so that a fair price can be struck between the two parties.
Mm-hmm. So if a person is running a company, and a lot of folks don't think of this, but they start a company, they don't think about someday in the future when I might want to sell that company and cash out. It's like a farmer who sells his farm after a lifetime of farming the land. But when the business owner is looking to maximize the return for all of his years or her years of investing and sweating and sacrificing to maximize the return on that sale of that business, they would be very smart to develop budgets along the way that help the lenders make good loans to them because of their cash flow.
Yeah.
And the buyers are generally paying more for a company that it produces a good cash flow, which produces a higher value, which makes it easier for the lender that, to then fund that acquisition.
Correct, yeah. And the other part of that is, so I don't know how many times I've seen a business owner has a really nice business, but hates paying taxes. Hates it. Just, shocker. You know, the small business owners don't like paying income taxes. So what they'll do is they will find ways to minimize their income. The problem is, and this actually goes for anytime somebody comes in to borrow too, if you can't prove your income through financial statements and tax returns, it's almost as if it doesn't exist. And that happens a lot when you're transitioning a business. So you have a great business. It could be worth, you know, $500,000 in blue sky, but because you tried to mitigate your taxes, I always tell people, really what you did is you took out all of your goodwill by not paying taxes. You took it out over the years, and that's okay, but you just got to be ready for that at the end of the day. So I would strongly recommend that if somebody were thinking about selling their business, and hopefully it's not a situation where you got to sell it now, you know, due to health or something like that, but you've got some time, I would start to plan on meeting with somebody to help try and drive the valuation to a point where it deserves to be based off the cash flow that you're generating.
What is a good debt service coverage ratio? Can you cover that a bit? We're talking about around it.
Yeah, real quick. When you come in and look to borrow, we are going to evaluate the cash flow, which is relevant to what we're talking about here. So we're going to need the tax returns to show that. And what we usually look for, and again, circumstances are always a little bit different, so we got some flexibility in here. But usually what we like to find is a 1.25 times debt service coverage ratio. And what that means is that for every dollar worth of debt payment I got to make, I've got $1.25 worth of free cash flow to take care of that. And we look at everything, you know, we've taken the view, we look at it in two steps. We look at it at the business level. So is the business generating enough cash flow to cover the specific debt that it's asking? But then we look at the global as well, because there are a lot of cases where the business looks like it's got $1.25 for every dollar worth of debt, but then when we add on the fact that the person who owns the business needs a couple $100,000 to support their lifestyle, all of a sudden, whoosh, all that extra cash just disappears because of the lifestyle, and we end up not making the loan. And that's a hard concept. It's like, well, wait a second, the business can cover this. And we say, well, unfortunately, you need to pull $200,000 out of the business, or $100,000 or $50,000 or whatever it needs to be out of the business in order to support your life. And that would take the cash flow level down to a point where it's not sustainable.
How about the other way around, when you have a situation where somebody doesn't have that 1.25, but they have another means outside of the business?
That happens quite a bit as well, and that's a great point. So what we do is we actually we give a lot of credence to that outside income. We still want the business to be able to support itself at some point. So what we won't do is again, some circumstances, you know, are different than others, but in almost every case, we won't lend into a business where there is no prospect of it ever cash flowing by itself, regardless of the income from the individual from the outside. Now, again, there's some mitigating circumstances that might change that, but we want the business to be able to handle it. Now, that being said, when you get a business that, hey, we might take a couple years to get to that point, or, if something bad happens, which could happen relatively easily for this type of business, instead of saying, no, that outside income supports it, and it's like, look, they got some fallback, we're comfortable, that if the business stumbles, they'll be able to come in and support it. So that happens quite a bit.
Okay. So, Chris, one of the things we do to finish up the show each week is ask our guests for a biz tip. What biz tip would you like to leave with our audience this morning.
Yeah, I'd like to harken back to the beginning of our conversation about interest rates and stuff like that. And now with prime at 5%, I'll circle back around. I said it was 5.25% before. With prime at 5% and starting and increasing, and but more importantly, the U.S. Treasuries. One of my tips is a multi-step tip here. One of my tips would be for business owners to start to really take a look at U.S. Treasuries so that they can, especially the ones that borrow. It just drives so much the cost of our borrowing and the cost of a lot of other inputs for you. So if you get good at watching the treasuries and kind of following them and seeing where they're going and watching that, I think that's very important. But the second thing is to make sure that your interest rate house is in order at this point. Really take a look. Even if you got a low interest rate now, in 6 months, you might not be as happy as you would have if you had refinanced today.
Project ahead and see what interest rate is going to render your cash flow insufficient.
I would do a stress testing, which is a whole other topic for next time.
Yeah.
But also just kind of see where that midpoint is for you, for a return on whether or not you're going to do a refinance now or wait 6 to 12 or 18 months later.
Okay. We've had Chris Allen from Fox Communities Credit Union on. We want to thank you, Chris.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tony,
it.
And
you're
wish
welcome.
Everyone a good weekend.
Good to be here. Bye-bye.